Fans of country singer Sturgill Simpson will be eager to find out if the musician will be back on stage in 2022. That's because back in September, Simpson announced that he'd suffered a vocal cord hemorrhage. The injury forced him to cancel the remainder of his 2021 concert dates. And as he told his fans on social media, it'll be a long, hot minute before he gets back to singing again. And that's a shame, because 2021 was a big year for Sturgill Simpson. In August, he released his latest album, The Ballad of Dude and Juanita. This song is Old Dude Part 1.
Left the varnish off his words, feeding no beast nor man. Didn't want to end up in his debt, because the damn sure get paid. He was harder than the nails hammered Jesus' hands. He was the one they called Dude. Son of a mountain miner and a Shawnee maiden.
The Ballad of Dude and Juanita is up for a Grammy for Best Country Album. His Cuttin' Grass Volume 1 Butcher Shop Sessions was also nominated for Best Bluegrass Album. And he appears on the John Prine tribute album Broken Hearts and Dirty Windows Volume 2, which came out in October. Simpson performed one of Prine's most famous songs, Paradise, for that album.
Daddy wants to take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River, where paradise lay. I'm sorry, my son, but too late in asking, Mr. Peabody's coal train is hauled away.
We spoke with Sturgill Simpson about John Prine back in June. Our original studio quality recording for the interview failed, which is why you're about to hear Sturgill Simpson on a phone line. But once he gets telling stories about his old friend John Prine, we don't think you're going to mind. Sturgill Simpson, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, John Prine wrote Paradise 50 years ago for his father, who was from Paradise, Kentucky. It's been covered dozens and dozens of times. What draws you to it?
I mean, it's one of those songs you've known your entire life, probably before you were too young to even know you knew it. We were in the studio recording Volume 1, Cuttin' Grass. So, we had the band there. I think that was the first take, I think, is the one you just played. Because nobody had to learn it, if you know what I mean. At that point, it was still fresh. I haven't really grasped that he's gone, just because there was no goodbye at all for anyone, especially his family members.
Well, for most of us, John Prine was like this legendary songwriter, but for you, he was that, but he was also your friend, right? I mean, what did he mean to you personally and as a musician?
Well, one, you have to get past the legend, because he was this unnervingly down-to-earth, extremely humble person. But for me, the real enlightening perspective came from hearing him talk about, his earlier life.
I always figured my music come from somewhere between here and Kentucky. We used to go down there as often as we could until the town got tore down by Mr. Peabody.
His coal train is hauled it away. Well, sometimes we travel right down the Green River to the abandoned old prison down by Avery Hill, where the air smelled like snakes and we'd shoot with our pistols, but empty pop bottles was all we would kill. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay.
Everybody says don't meet your heroes. I would say John Prine was definitely an exception to that rule.
So what was it like when you met him? Because you must have been starstruck.
The first time I met him, I was sitting in the studio at the butcher shop, probably actually late 2015, and I took a break, hit the space bar and I turned around, and he was just sitting there. And I'll never forget it, because he was wearing plaid pants and like a periwinkle blue linen cotton sport coat. He was just sort of sitting there listening, and he's just like, I'm hungry, let's go get some lunch. And then he knew I just had a couple kids, so my house was full of energy and noise. and he had a little office there in the studio. We called it an office, but there's nothing in there but a jukebox and a pool table. And he said, you know, he had a set of keys made, and said anytime he needed a place. So we shared that room for the better part of 3 years, but we were never in the room at the same time. And all that time, I could see signs he'd been there, and likewise, and he'd usually like flip my drums upside down or move them around or something.
Really?
Like every time it was always some little sign. But yeah, he, you know, when I got the news that he went into the hospital, I just sort of was standing outside and just kind of accepted the fact that I probably was never going to see him again.
I'm sorry that you lost your friend and your hero. He was a hero to a lot of us. You're also from Kentucky and from a family of coal miners. I just wonder, you know, what that legacy, how that's inspired your own music and the way you think about things.
Immensely, especially on that topic. That song definitely connected with me at a very young age. I've written a couple songs about it.
I'll be one of the first in a long, long line not to go down from old Black Lung. Yeah, my death will be slower than the rest of my kind, and my life will be sadder than the songs they all sung. Well, now, old King Cole, what are we gonna do when the mountains are gone and so are you?
My mother's father and her brother, all my grandfathers, great-grandfathers were coal miners, and so from outside looking in, there's the devastation and the lack of sustainability in terms of worshiping little black lumps of rock for energy. But when you live in those communities, or more importantly, let's say, for instance, my grandfather had a seventh grade education, but because he worked, you know, as a foreman, you know, with a seventh grade education, was making $90,000 to $110,000 a year, and that provided for our family in a way that wouldn't have been possible otherwise. And then now that those industries have sort of dried up and left, taking all the money with them and left the regional devastation, you know, those opportunities aren't there anymore, and there's none being brought in. So I guess for me, the lack of understanding, I guess, from outsiders, they want to know why the region is so hell-bent on the return of those jobs, is because it was the one thing that ever really brought sustainable income and outside of that opportunity, in a lot of ways, hope in Appalachia.
Yeah. Let's hear some more of your music. You came out with two albums late last year, Cutting Grass, Volume 1 and 2. This one is called Hobo Cartoon.
Wish I was riding a steam train right out of pages of town, down through the old roaring 20s, for the fall of 1929. Back in the heyday railroad, before airplanes fluttered and flew, color me in like a cartoon hobo, doing what bums used to do.
You wrote that song with Merle Haggard, but he died in 2016. You got to explain how that song came about.
That song, actually, Merle wrote the lyrics while he was in the hospital bed, probably knowing he was at the end of his life, and he was still writing songs. He was just laying there, and he sent me that song via text message, and it was from one railroader to another. And I was like, God, what am I going to do with this, you know? And then when this record came up, you know, I was like, well, now or never, this is sort of these are the records that this song belongs on.
What was it like for you to get a song texted to you from Merle Haggard on his deathbed? I mean, how did you feel about that? It's kind of an honor, isn't it?
It's an immense honor. But yeah, man, mostly I just miss these guys. It's tough. I feel like I've lost my grandfather five times, especially when you don't really get to say all the things you wish you had, or you were always too nervous to, or you didn't want to bother him when you're in front of him. You just, you know, you don't want to be that guy. So a lot of times we just sit there and not saying anything. And then now I just wish, you know, I had a, one good opportunity to embarrass myself.
What would you say to him?
A bunch of stuff I'm not going to say on NPR. But I don't know, man. I'd just probably just hug him and tell him thanks. And I love him. And I don't know. Stop smoking. Yeah. What a year. Jesus.
It's been rough. It's been rough. Sturgill Simpson, Grammy Award-winning singer and songwriter. Thank you so much for speaking with us. It's been a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Oh, my God. It's so beautiful. Everything is part of me.
That was our conversation with Sturgill Simpson from last year.
Made of wool, but it's